Yo, what up, Diggy?
What up, man?
How you doing, man?
I'm chilling.
All right, we're pumped. Episode 11, we got our boy ESP.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, we're banging these bad boys out, man.
Yeah, man. I can't believe it's 11 already. I mean, I can't believe where we got from where we started. I mean, it was just a dumbass idea for us, but here we are.
I'm proud of us. We've been consistent every 2 weeks, so we got one in the bag. We're going to do this one. And then I think we're going to bang out one more for episode 12, and then we're going to cap that off as a season.
Yeah, and then I think we're just going to take a bit of time to step back and regroup and see where we can improve and where we can take it to the next level. And then, yeah, we're going to hit you up with some more bangers after that.
I'm stoked about this interview, but I'm also stoked about the next one we got. The season finale is going to be super dope, so stay tuned for that.
Yeah, man. So what's up? What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, boys? Nice to, it's long time no see, I would say.
Yeah. We should also mention that ESP, we affectionately call him Pierce, is also a good buddy of ours. So, it was just a matter of time before he came in the studio and sat down and chatted with us.
Yeah, I'm actually stoked on this because, like, we hang out all the time, but, like, I actually don't really know, like, your full story. Like, I get it in, like, you know, pieces, like, when we're having, like, late night beers, and I'm like, oh, really? You did that?
I kind of snuck into the city about 3 years ago and just implanted myself in the little DJ circle that we got going on. So, yeah, it's I haven't had a real chance to kind of, I don't know, give any sort of hilarious backstory going on. So this should be fun, man.
Yeah, it's cool. Like, I met you, the first time I met you was at the DJ Summit that we used to do at Track and Field with George Toms. Shout out George Toms.
Big shout out George Toms. Those were fun.
And I guess Reddy, your buddy's with DJ James Reddy, and that was kind of how you came through. And
yeah, Chetty actually put me on for that. Reddy and Chetty are obviously Toronto well-known dudes around as well. I went to school with Reddy at Humber for radio broadcasting maybe like 12 years ago, like a long time ago. And then we've been like friends ever since. And so when I moved back to Toronto, I wanted to kind of, you know, get some gigs and like meet some people out here. So I hit him up and, you know, was hanging out with him and Chetty a lot. And then Chetty actually said that you guys were doing the summits. And it was like a cool way to like everybody get a chance to like meet other DJs and stuff, because we're always out working. So even if I landed in Toronto and started working right away, I wouldn't necessarily get a chance to meet a lot of people.
That was kind of the main concept of it, was to get together on an off night. We always did them on Tuesdays, and it was kind of just like a networking thing, and people would come and just do like little showcases. But I remember being like, oh, okay, this guy's got some fucking skills.
I felt pretty good about that. It was a good night, because I remember we all got little sets on that one. It was kind of a chance to hear everybody else play. And I came and I played just like some sort of like
more Motown-y vibes, I think.
Funky, disco-y kind of flips and stuff like that. I remember George came up to me right after, and he just like gave me his card. And he's just like, let's chat. He's like, you know, it's nice to meet you kind of thing. And then met a bunch of everybody else. I think on that one, I think maybe Mensa was there. There's a few of them, and they kind of all blend together, because there was also Jameson fueled nights that carried on.
Sponsored by Jameson and Woodhouse was kind of a bad idea. Should have been sponsored by like Evian water or something. You know, it might have been better luck by that.
San Pellegrino.
San Pellegrino. San Pelli, baby.
Yeah.
San Pierce Pellegrino likes to take a month off the booze, and he really pushes hard for that Pellegrino sponsorship during that month.
One day I'll get it, and it'll be as far. I'm sure whatever heights I reach eventually in this life, the San Pellegrino sponsorship, once I land that, that'll be my.
That's when you know you've made it.
I'm going to frame that on the wall, like print out the email, like, yeah, we sent you one case. Could you stop tagging us and stuff, please?
It's funny how that actually came up, because we were just talking before we kind of got on air here about another DJ named ESP who was doing sober raves. So if you got to go full sober for that sponsorship to happen, I think.
I could just pretend to be him.
there you go.
He's already cornered the market on this music is my drug, sober rave kind of vibe. So maybe I could just channel that and somehow steal that San Pellegrino sponsorship for sure.
So it's only been 3 years in the city, eh? Because it seems like you guys all go way back. I mean, every time I see the crew hanging out, it's like fast old buds.
Yeah, like I go back with Reddy like a long, long time. And like when we were both in radio broadcasting together, and we spent a lot of time hanging out. And then when I moved back home and elsewhere in my life travels,
home,
kind of
home is?
I originally grew up just outside of Hamilton.
Okay.
So when I moved back that way, like, we always just stayed in touch because, like, you know, it was the, you know, meet people in college and, you know, really kind of bond through music that way kind of thing.
Yeah.
And we DJ'd a little bit together when we were hanging out back then, but not so much. We always just, like, really got along. And then, yeah, moving out here is, like, I met, like, you at the DJ Summit, George and everybody. And because we're all kind of on the same wavelength, which is people who appreciate music and enjoy, like, DJing nightly and going out there and kind of doing it in a fun way. Like, I feel like, yeah, like, it was, like, fast friends and everybody because we're all like, yo, I fuck with you. This is cool. Like, I'm about the same shit. Like, there's not a lot. I haven't really met anybody who I've worked with or hang out with in Toronto who I'm like, you know, fuck this guy. Or, like, he's whack. You know what I mean? Like, I haven't really met anybody on that tip. So it's
yeah,
really...
we talk about that a lot, kind of just like the DJ community is so tight knit and, like, you bond over music and, you know, gigging and whatever. And it's cool.
But I think a lot of us here are fortunate because that's not always the case. There's a lot of dickhead DJs out there, and, like, the camaraderie and the openness amongst everyone is pretty dope here because everyone's sharing, everyone, you know, you're at a gig and, you know, you'll jump on if someone needs to take a 10-minute break or something, and it's not like being tight ass like that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like when I was first starting to get, like, club and bar stuff, like DJing out for people in the purpose of, like, I used to do it, like, kind of in a, as most of us have that skeleton in our closet of being in a bad rap group back in the day. I used to DJ in that kind of context. When I started DJing out more to like, you know, get people dancing for the night in Hamilton back in the day, from what I can remember, there wasn't, when I was kind of coming up that way, like, a lot of people were very protective of, like, I have this residency.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah, yeah.
There's no way, like, you can come play here.
And I have this edit, and I'm not sharing this edit with you. And,
this is my spot that I play.
Yeah, like, yeah,
yeah. Oh, yeah, like, I like that remix you got. Cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cool story,
yeah,
bro.
Cool story. That's about it. There wasn't a lot of super sharing. No, it wasn't like late 90s battle scene. It wasn't like anybody was, like, being mean to each other, but everybody was just kind of closed off. So, yeah, like, now, in the past 3 years or so, like, if... For example, for this party I have coming up on the Thursday, I was talking to both of you guys about doing the vinyl thing. I was supposed to do, like, craft, like that one spot that we do downtown.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
we just switch nights.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like, it's no thing. It's easy. It's That's like something dope. You can just call up. It feels like having the best job ever, like with, like, and, like, dope coworkers. You just, like, call. Because you're, like, constantly just having beers and hanging out all the time.
Yeah, yeah,
and
sure.
Still somehow getting paid.
So let's rewind a bit, because you're actually, I think, the third person on the show who actually has a background in radio and broadcasting that actually went to school for that. So at that point, were you DJing, or, like, what made you decide to go down that road?
So the DJing and, like, the radio broadcasting, I went to school for that kind of in a way that I thought I could bridge appeasing sort of the parentals, because I was pretty young at the time, you know. They're like, we really want you to go to school and, like, get some sort of background in anything school related.
Yeah.
So that seemed like a way kind of to bridge those two worlds. I was already DJing in this terrible rap group called the Ill Literates.
Wow. That's a good name.
Yeah,
so, it's not a bad, it's a good punny name.
Yeah. Oh man, I just had a huge flashback. But yeah, so
what was the configuration of that group?
The configuration was, so there was a guy who was, like, the main MC. His name was Matt. He did, like, all the beats back in, like, the Reason days, like, you know, when everybody's using, like, kind of bridging Cool Edit Pro and, like, all this, like, ripped software from all the file sharing era. So he was, like, the beat guy, and he was pretty nasty with the beats. Like, he was pretty good with it. I mean, as far as just being a guy who's kind of channeling, like, Primo and, you know, Stone's Throw stuff, he was finding random
samples. Sample heavy.
Sample heavy, boom bap. Yeah, like, we were big on, like, all the using the proper elements, if you will, kind of thing. And then the guy who taught me how to DJ, he goes by Jimmy Riggs. His name is Greg Hewitt. Massive shout out to that guy. He actually, I saw his video he just put up. He's in the online DMCs right now. He's, I call him Mr. Okay. Patterns.
Is he a DMC? He's won some shit, right?
He's won a couple of DMCs, I think more like the regionally kind of things.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not a huge scratchy kind of guy. He's, I call him Mr. Patterns. Like his juggle game is not like so Chase.
Okay. The dog was being good for a while.
Dad is trying to hop on the mic. He's like, can I say something real quick
the,
here?
He's trying to bite the mic. He's going to say, if you want some real management, come over to the dog.
But he was the guy who taught me how to DJ. So the group configuration was kind of, he would also MC, and then we were both kind of DJs as well in that. And then when we first did like some bar shows and stuff, like we'd go to our little local Hamilton bar, and then like the whole town of Dundas would come out, and it would just be like,
yeah, yeah, friends and family supporting the shit.
But like everybody you knew is like kind of wild. And then so when I first started, I was like, oh, it's going to be like this all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like everybody you know is going to show up every time.
Yeah.
It's obviously not the case.
Did a lot of bottlings go down?
Yo, I saw
Hamilton, right?
I listened to the one episode where you're talking with Walter and Cam, my boys from down there. Hamilton's got an interesting reputation.
Yeah,
sure.
You heard I got my ass kicked there. Yeah.
I've definitely seen some bottlings and some interesting domestics go down on that street. It's a very 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 fun, but very let's just say that the liquor flows down there for sure.
So you were in the program, and you were still in the rap group. You weren't out on your own gigging at this point.
No,
as a DJ?
Not really. I went to Humber, and then you know I was at Humber by myself. I met Reddy and stuff like that. So I was still making, like, I bought an MPC and I was like making beats and like doing that kind of stuff. And that's when I became more interested in like DJing out. So
did you have turntables?
I had turntables. I think I was telling you the other night, just in like a fun, like quick short way. My first set was a set of Stanton Straight 30s. So okay. you hear a lot of time, you're like, oh, I had the Stanton starter pack. This is the Straight 60s, which is a really weak direct drive turntable.
Mm-hmm.
Mine were a belt drive turntable.
Crazy.
Well, and if you look down there, I that's
you
what
have
I
a
learned.
Straight 30?
No, I that's just an old Pioneer that was belt drive is what I learned on.
Yeah. Oh, it's just crazy. Yeah. And it came with like a little budget mixer. I think it was called like an SMX 201. And when I bought it from this DJ shop that was in Hamilton called the DJ Den.
Mm-hmm.
I went in, I rode a motorcycle at the time. So I rode my motorcycle to the DJ Den.
You are from the sticks, aren't you? Wow. Was it a dirt bike?
Yeah.
Was it a
No. It's an 80s sport touring, so it might as well. It would have been something Chuck Norris shot guns off.
That's
of.
Dope.
So, yeah.
That's dope.
So I got there, and then I bought it, and then I realized, like, I really wanted to get it home and, like, you know, go start playing with it. But I had my fucking motorcycle there. I didn't have a car or anything. So what I literally did that day was I got one of the guys who was working at the shop to help me take the boxes and stack them on my back seat, and then we just packing taped the shit out of it.
That's awesome.
And just taped amazing. Them to my bike. And then, yeah.
It's like some Dumb and Dumber shit.
It was full. I remember, like, riding home the whole way, just, like, with the Dumb and Dumber look on my face, just, like, over my shoulder.
Were you thinking, like, how stupid am I going to be if this falls
off?
Oh,
man. Like, immediately, I'm like, this is good. Or, like, even, I was like, if it falls off, like, I could probably tape it back up. I'm like, what am I going to just sit on the side of the road and tape it back up? So, yeah, I got home. I go to plug all this stuff in. And because it was floor models of this guy's stuff that he's selling me, I open the mixer, and there's no power supply for it. So I'm like, oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
I call the shop. They're like, yeah, yeah, like one will be here. Like, come in tomorrow. I go back down tomorrow. The shop is empty.
Oh, shit.
Like, somebody had done, like, an inside job, and they were just, like, done.
Yeah.
And so I had to, like, go get a power supply made at, like, an electronic shop.
Was it, like, an obscure, like, cable, or was it?
It was just, like, a random, it was just, like, a random one-off, like, you might find for, like, an old house phone that was, like, cordless or something. You know, it had a little black brick in the middle of the cable, something weird.
Yeah,
something
yeah,
like
yeah.
get made up.
Yeah.
It wasn't, like, the phone jack.
No, not, like, the rain, not, like, that yeah, business. Yeah. No. But I remember, like, going back to the shop and seeing it empty and being, like, what? Like,
yeah, there's no worse feeling than getting gear home and something's missing or something goes wrong. Like,
oh,
you're
yeah.
just, like, pumped to get it going. And
Yeah.
I was in, that was, like, I went to check out the Rain 12s at Moog the other day.
Okay.
And they had them set up. So the Rain rep had come in and set them up. The Rain rep is a super, super nice guy, but he's on like the sales kind of end sort of thing. He's not really a DJ guy. He even said to me, he's like, I'm not really a DJ guy. I don't really know what's going on. So I was there with the Moog guys and we were all like laptops plugged in. Everything's like on, everything's going, but we couldn't get it to function. It was the same thing. It's just like, we have this, trying to play with the newest, coolest thing that exists in DJing right now. We couldn't figure out how to start it. It turned out it need to be like one little button on the screen. Yeah, but.
It sounds like Diggy like not turning on the microphones when we're doing podcasts.
Yeah, I'm an idiot.
Dope. So then, so back to the rap group then. So that ran its course, or what happened
so
there?
So that did a little bit of a thing. In college, I ended up as my internship through the radio broadcasting. I did Stylistic Endeavors, which is like a
radio show
on 89.5 that was on for a long time. Shout out the legends, DJ Sirius, DJ FaZe, Sweet Touch.
Sweet Touch did that shit, yeah,
and,
dope.
Yeah, like all of the...
Toronto vets.
Like literal, like... At the time, I didn't even like... I knew these guys were all kind of like... really established, well-known kind of DJs, but I didn't really know like how lucky I was kind of to be in that scenario.
Yeah.
Like my first CD that I bought that was of like not rap, that was like real, like kind of like true school hip hop, was actually DJ Sirius's Dim Sum.
Dope.
And so like when I got to like kind of watch him, you know, like DJ on the radio and get to hang out with those guys, it was pretty cool.
So what kind of stuff were you doing as an internship? Just kind of,
I was like filling
getting
out
getting DJ Sirius coffee.
Yeah, no, I was like filling out the logs and stuff.
So
like that kind of, you know, then I learned a lot about like what labels each people are on and like that kind of stuff. Yep. And then just like they're like such culture heads and like actual, you know,
music nerds.
Yeah, like great musical encyclopedias to like kind of be around. Like I was just kind of trying to soak all that up as much as possible.
Dope.
That's where I saw Serato for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't know. So like I started there and I think I did my first record or my first show, like filling with the logs, and they'd had like a Creator Records. And then the second one I did the next Friday, Serato magically appeared.
Wow.
And I was like, what the hell?
Who was using it? Do you remember?
Serious?
Yeah. Was he rattled or was he...
No, because
he's
a really like forethinking, smart, like he's a technology guy.
Yeah.
He's the first guy I ever saw using Ableton and stuff too back in the day. But that was like SL1 box, like on some DJ nerd shit. Like this is when like you see all like people hitting the buttons and like doing like Absolute Mode was the only thing that existed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
There wasn't even Relative Mode, wasn't even in the program.
Yeah, so you still had to move the needle back.
You had to move
the
needle.
The
it acted like real, like a real record if you wanted
no cue points,
no nothing.
Crazy.
But I remember seeing that, and then I ended up getting one myself. I want to say about a year later. Kind of watched that happen for a year.
SL1.
SL1. Yeah. And then from there, hilariously enough, it's just been this, you know, slow journey to now just DJing for a living now. It was just like, if that technology didn't exist, I'm sure I would have DJed in some sort of regard. But as we all know, we've all carried crates.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure maybe in my late 20s, my back might have given out early. Yeah. I'm not the world's biggest guy.
were you on SL1, Diggy, as well? Did you jump on it right from the get?
I did. I'm an idiot. I bought like I think it was called like Final.
We've established that.
You bought Final Scratch?
I bought Final Scratch.
Wow. Now,
I don't know why.
Just edit the record needle sliding across the record?
Awkward. Yeah.
Wow.
And I bought it and like I set it up and I was just like, what the fuck did I do? Like I fucked up. And then I got Serato.
I thought you went to virtual
DJ
after.
I think I managed to sell it or something and just go over to Serato. But yeah, I had the SL1 box and like maybe like a Rain
56 or something.
Yeah, 56 exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe even a Vestex back then when I first had my
PMC 05 is still like a solid ass mixer. Like if I had one of those hanging around the house, I would still have it to play with. Like,
for sure,
that's a classic. But I've seen a Final Scratch. What would you even call it? Dongle, like the box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did they maybe get bought out by Tractor, or did they just? Fold?
No, they
what
just
was
fold,
it?
They just folded. Like, I forget who made it.
Who made that stuff?
I think it was like a turntable. I think like Stanton. I think it was like Stanton Final Scratch or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Because anyway, I didn't touch.
Shouts out to Final Scratch.
They had one shot at it, and it was their Final
Scratch.
I didn't see the early iterations of Serato because I was pure vinyl, and then I just took a break because I career, other stuff. I couldn't afford buying records and stuff, and then once I became a little more established in my career, I had a little bit of dough in my pocket. I went full out and just bought like a built-in, you know, mixer with a built-in interface. And
you had a 57?
I actually bought a 64. No, 68.
The
no,
68, the boat anchor?
The no, big, the, f- yeah, the four channel one. One. Yeah, yeah.
Did you talk with Walter and Cam about that?
No, we didn't get into that, but I actually liked it. I have to admit, I did like that mixer.
Because that could have been done in their interview, but I remember they bought one and we were all super excited because we all used to DJ together a fair amount back in the day. And I was going to go play with them the one day. I'm like, oh, yo, I get to try this brand new, like, 68. I'm super excited. So much is happening in that mixer. It was just, like, a confusing thing already. And then, like, 2 or 3 weeks later, stuff started just breaking on it.
Yeah, buttons and
like,
shit.
But buttons were popping off the top. Like, things that were supposed to be glued to the inside of the top were, like, falling into the mixer. And then I think, like, a year later, they tried to sell it and, like, Rain had discontinued it on their website. Like, you couldn't even search for it. Like, they were like, we never made this. Yeah. This thing didn't exist.
Because Rain is generally, like, known for, like, the highest quality shit. Yeah, like, their mixers are, like, are beasts. Like, compared to, you know, some of the other products out there.
For sure. And that probably explains why I got a pretty good deal on it at the time. I'm just like, wait a second. I wanted the 62 because that's what everyone was kind of rocking. I'm like, but this is like $700, $800 cheaper. And it's 4-channel. I'm like, I'm getting a deal here.
Yeah, it was. That was an interesting piece. I remember when they told me because it was. I went to a 57 and they used the 68 for a while. When they're like, yo, like, we're having a, like, I'm like, oh, you sell that yet? They're like, no, nobody wants to buy it. And then one day the camera's like, it's not even listed on their website anymore. I'm like, oh, that is a bad sign. Like, that is not good for that piece of technology.
So the other week, did it end up working out eventually with the 72 and the 12s?
72 and the 12s. The shortest point from A to B in that story is the 12s are controllers. Mm-hmm. They're like, so if you've ever, like, used a normal DJ controller, when you plug that into your laptop, as opposed to plugging in a mixer where you're waiting for your control signal from your vinyl or your CD to come through, this there's none of, there that doesn't exist on it. So you actually have to be on internal mode for the controllers to be, because internal mode is controllers would be.
So I was there's no needle to move.
There's no nothing. So I was on relative mode. I'm like, we're like, who's no. Nothing's happening here, but like the mixer, everything was talking to each other.
And the Rain dude didn't know because he's a sales dude.
And he's a sales dude. Super nice guy. He was more concerned.
Don't worry, he's probably not listening. You don't have to.
I know, but I like it. I might have this Rain thing coming up. So
we won't shit on Rain.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
He kept walking up to him and just be like, dude, you know, like when you do that, like, I have no idea what I'm doing, kind of whistle, like,
Yeah.
He's just like, he was literally just staring at it. Probably went, I have no idea what the fuck is happening here.
So you eventually got it going.
Yeah. And they're a very powerful piece of technology that, like the 12s themselves, they've been keeping it pretty low key that you can use them with anything. I was under the impression all the way up until when I tried them at Moog the other day.
You needed the 72.
You needed the 72. Then the guy dropped the bomb on me. He's just like, no, like you could hypothetically, like if you had like a USB hub, like this would just kind of be treated as a MIDI device with your laptop. I was like,
sketchy.
It sounds sketchy, but I got kind of excited. I'm like, well, that's kind of cool. At least the guy, and then the Rain guy's like, well, I don't even know why I told you that. Just like, they obviously want to sell the whole kit. But if you wanted to buy the whole thing, like with a 72 and a set of 12s, it's about $5,000.
Yeah.
Like so after tax.
The mixer looks super dope. It looks like a little bit of overkill. And unfortunately, I think the 12s are going to get phased out.
You love that joke so much. I've heard you say this like 9 times.
You guys can't see us right now, but he's looking at us with a shit-eating grin right now.
No, it's kind of just like, it just seems like the natural progression is that people are going to really
the reason, okay,
go with the phase over that.
I met the phase guys when I was in Poland. for the three Stallos over there supporting. Shout out Cam B, fucking
Canadian.
And we're gonna dive into that too.
Awesome. So I met the FaZe guys when I was in Poland because they had like an open like scratch session.
That was kind of the first time, I guess. That and NAMM was kind of
NAMM was when they first kind of let. I saw some videos of Jester and a couple other homies down there like. Doing the video that we've all seen where somebody's like waving it in the air. Mm-hmm. And doing that thing. Like, oh, what is this sorcery? So it was the first time. And it was kind of cool because it was a bunch of... That's like a lot of technology heads. There are like scratch DJs and stuff there. But this was like a room full of like... like Vazi was there. And a couple of like Newmark really crazy like... Polish dudes were just... Well, that was... The cool guy room. We weren't part of that one. This is they had it in a bar downtown. But it was
the Poland Scratcher thing meetup, right?
Yeah. So then, and what I, the reason why you're right with your phased out joke is because Rain is, they've gone too far, really. They've designed an entire new piece of technology. So now you have to buy this whole new piece of technology. Whereas there are 14 billion pairs of Tech 12s in the world, and all you need to do is buy this one little kit, and you can play on any of them and like sound that good. They've just retrofitted every single Tech 12 in the world.
Yeah,
and you can actually play the fucking records you have.
You can if the tone arm's an issue and you're using it, or you're using it just for DVS, or if you have a nice pair and you want to switch between playing 45s, shit, you don't even have to take the damn thing off. You can just like switch the switch, and then there you go. Okay. So it's pretty. I think I've already ordered a pair.
Mm-hmm. Word. I mean, we've been talking about gear for a bit here, so let's switch up gears. Did I just turn into Diggy right now, or what?
Oh, you got your dad joke way up to get to his level, man. Yeah.
So tell us about that. You decided to go out to Poland this year for the Red Bull 3 style and support your boys. What was that experience like for you?
Well, so last year when the entries were going on for... to get into the ones that would have gone through to Poland. I didn't get in. I'll move past that.
Your video was dope.
Yeah, it was dope. And it's good of you to bring that up and not just, you know.
Is that video online? Can people see that?
It's still online. It's on the Facebook. I have my one for this year will be done closer to the deadline again. I'm just kidding.
So you're gonna
I'm gonna submit again. The reason I'm working on it again sooner this time is because I have questions about... I literally sent it in on shitty internet at a club that I was DJing at hour 12 of So I have a question whether it even got there because I went to the Canadians because I was planning on going out to Vancouver to play gigs out there with Floetic. He was a buddy of mine who was actually in it.
Yep.
And I'd never actually been to Vancouver. I lived out in Calgary and toured through the mountain towns for a couple of years, but I'd never gone all the way over to Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
So the Canadians were out there. Cam was in it too. Nick Bike, who's an acquaintance slash sort of homie. I was like, oh, there's a bunch of dudes out there. I'm gonna go check it out.
Yeah.
So went to the Canadians, watched that. Cam B came through and smashed it, did his thing.
Yeah.
And then he got sent on through to the Worlds. I had a little bit of extra random cake sitting around, and I was just like, oh, you know, like, I'd been to, like, sort of an Eastern Europe, just, like, kind of on a trip a couple years back, and I enjoyed it. And I was like, well, this would be, like, a really fun version of that trip. Let's go out and check it out. Obviously, other homies, like, are part of that corporation, like, Bastard's, like, you know, a judge and, like, kind of like a...
Who?
who's this guy again? He's a young up-and-comer. You'll really enjoy him. Heads and some other guys. Like, there's a lot of people out there who were going to be there for
so
the whole
So you know
week.
You'd have a bunch of homies
the
there.
The funny thing about that is I was talking with Cam and Walter the other day, and we were kind of talking, and I was like, you know what? Like, it's almost, like, more effective and more beneficial for a DJ to be out there who isn't in the competition.
Yo, because then I would, like...
you're out there networking and hanging with people from all over the world, and Cam's in the hotel fucking
stressing.
I would, like... And then, like, because I would be like, oh, like, I'm from Canada. I'm out here. Like, I DJ in Canada. Like, I know these homies. I'm just out here chilling. And then they'd... You'd be talking to somebody like they realize you're not in the competition, and they'd kind of just like unload something they might not have said to you if they thought you were like a competitor. They're like, well, I don't fucking like this guy.
I think we need to, Diggy and I have talked about potentially making it out there. And
you guys got to come out for Taipei, 100%. It's going to be good.
So hopefully we can work something out. But yeah, Anyways, so yeah, so Cam won, and you're just like, yeah, fuck it, might as well go to Poland too.
Yeah, and because I was, Cam won, come back from that trip, and then it was, I forget where it was. I was doing, I think it was with you, maybe? It was like a Get Good at the Drake or something like that.
Okay.
Anyway, I ran into Heads, and I think Bassett as well, and I was just like, yeah, I'm thinking about probably gonna go to Poland. They're like, you should come to Poland, it's gonna be like a sick fun time, like,
yeah,
why not,
of course, yeah,
if you can pull it off. So I did, and yeah, it was crazy, man. I mean, that's, I'd never gone to, like, Toronto had the Worlds a while back, mm-hmm. but I was still living in Hamilton, so I'd only like come out for a couple of events, like,
yeah.
Two of the nights, which, if you're from the 905 and you recognize how that party life goes, is you get to Toronto, you get blotto, and then somehow you wake up back at your house. There's nothing really, you don't really get to enjoy it. But being there,
it's a different experience when you're over there. It feels kind of more,
you're
like
immersed.
More of a,
you're
fully
wake
immersed.
Up, yeah.
And like, you know, I would go hang out at the hotel with everybody and, you know, like kick in the practice room, and like it was just chatting, having beers, and then, you know, like Craze and Four Colors Zach would just like walk and be like, hey guys,
yeah.
And just like, I'm just gonna take over these sets over here. It's like, it's like a little bit, you know, the first little bit kind of wild, and especially because there's a ton of DJs who, like when you were saying, who weren't necessarily in it or judges or part
for
of
sure,
it
for sure, for mm-hmm. sure.
So like Angelo is out there, yeah. I've been watching Lazy Boy's videos like forever.
He's crazy.
He's
Cam and Walter were mentioning him too, and they thought he was like a super cool dude too.
He's got the wildest style, and then like, I remember because it was the first night, we're all kind of like, everybody's kind of just drinking and hanging out. And then I just turn around and I see him walk in. I'm like, why the fuck do I know this guy? I'm like, holy shit, it's Lazy Boy. You know, yeah. And then ended up hanging out with him a ton that week. Like, we went to the strip club that night and nice. Then carried on like kind of just like through him, like meeting other guys like from the DJ City crew, and then like through those guys being like the DJ City Japan guys.
Yeah,
then,
just for like inspiration and motivation.
Watching
like, you come back from that, and
everybody's like kind of pulling out little sets too. So like the practice room, like other random dudes, like if there was tables open, somebody might hop on. You'd see somebody who's not in the competition just like pull out something that they were gonna do for like a content for their own mm-hmm. promotion, and you'd be like, oh shit, like that's pretty insane. And and it was like, I mean, they've always done really well-run events, so, like, it was pretty smooth. Like,
yeah.
You went out to an event, enjoyed it, got to see some absolutely wild DJing, wake up a little hungover, and then carry on with your life,
you know,
the next day, and then just kind of do it all over again.
Nice.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, and then, but yeah, then, so the first night of competition was when Cam was in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's going to the world finals. And
he was kind of like, shit.
Yeah,
like, yeah. I wish I kind of just didn't make it. To
yeah,
the
I
next
know.
Round. At that point,
it was a big gap between his winning his heat to
first work. Night first to the last night.
Yeah, yeah, so yeah. You're just on edge the whole time. Right?
I was having the best time. I'm like, yeah, I'm like, any, I already know my boys. Beverages? I already know my boys in the finals.
But him, he was on edge.
He was on edge. Yeah. Oh yeah, big time. I saw him like only a couple times during the week, and then like after the finals, on the Bassett's boat cruise, I saw him, and like the party that night, I was there with Trapment. So I went, me and him had an Airbnb, so we were generally sort of going to the events. Or like
so Trapman, Canadian champion from last year or the year before?
He got second place in the Worlds in Chile.
Okay.
So that was the last one before Poland.
Yeah.
Puffy.
And he didn't enter this year, but he was just going out to, you know, mm-hmm. check it out and hang out
I
with
think he judged the Canadian finals.
He judged
right?
the Canadian yeah. finals, yeah. And it's funny because I didn't even know he was going to do that. And when I went to Vancouver, he just kind of like walked in the room. I was like, oh, shit. Like, what are you doing here? He's like, judging. I'm like, damn.
Shouts out to Trapman, dope dude.
Big time.
Sexy beard.
Is it, yo, beard model.
Game on Fleek.
Beard model extraordinaire.
Did you just say Fleek?
I think I did.
Your dad is showing. is there highlights, memorable experience there? Like, what's the...
For sure, 100%. Like, number one coolest moment of that trip was one of the random competition nights. I want to say it was the third one. I was hanging out with these cool chicks from the UK. I was like kind of getting super tuned with them. So I'm like having a good time hanging out with some honeys. I'm like, this is really fun. I'm
Is this going to be like a different type of story? No.
So then, I was just like, oh, you know, it was just like a good vibe because there's most of the week it's just been like dudes hanging out around turntables. I was like,
yeah, for sure.
There's some actual like funny, nice, intelligent women hanging out there. I was like, oh, this is great. This is amazing. And then, so we all kind of
parted. Were they DJs or just?
No, they're from the UK, but they're like sort of loosely affiliated with Puffy and Just Jay. They're like more like about like the Caribbean kind of vibe going on. So we all parted ways. So I'm pretty smashed because I was having a great time. We get back to the hotel. We get back to the hotel and Ernesto. He's like one of these like super rare record from like Lebanon.
Yeah.
So he kind of wanders into, and I think he'd already been talking with Newmark, and Bastard and a couple other guys, and he was gonna play some because he was supposed to play on the boat cruise on
Bastard's barbecue,
yeah. And he's gonna like show some of the guys some of his like you know. $5,000 45s, you know what I mean? Like some insane shit. So we're all like,
and a lot of like those records are like a lot of Middle Eastern grooves and really
Middle Eastern
rare.
Grooves. Just a lot of like covers of people who are covering music covered by other people. So like just the DNA of you listening, just from like where it was recorded in, like you'd realize these people's idea of like what the song Shout was by hearing some random UK group record it, not like you mm-hmm. know like from North America. So you'd hear like he had a bunch of crazy covers, super unique independent like stuff that like maybe like two copies exist in the world. Yeah. He's a real information guy, and
he seems like a bit of a character.
Oh, he's a fucking animal, bro. Yeah.
Setting up the turntables looked like a fucking process.
Oh, that was on the boat when we were doing, when we were at the practice room and he was putting it on. Yeah. We're all full blackout. Like I remember it well, but like, I also don't. But I remember a lot of everybody's like kind of leaning on everything, mm-hmm. like just to kind of hold themselves up. Newmark was like super, just like Ernesto would put something on, and like you just watch Newmark's eyes just turn like the size of his head. He'd be like, yeah. "What the fuck is this?"
Yeah.
So we hung out, listened with records to, and this guy, he's just like an absolute. He's just chugging a bottle of wine, putting on wild records. We listened like till like 7:30 or 8 in the morning, then we all like had breakfast together.
Yeah.
And just like chatted about records and I think if I remember correctly, I think like Newmark had his like laptop open. He's like taking
notes.
He's like, tell me more about that one thing there. Yeah. Like he's like stuff to find for later kind of idea. And actually I think him and Jazzy Jeff were both kind of like after on the boat cruise kind of cornered Ernesto a little bit.
Yeah.
Like,
it's cause it's a different perspective, right? Than what we have access to. Right.
Even just to I don't really know much about like, cause he reps Lebanon like really hard and digs it in around there. Like that's something super far removed from anything that would even be, I would never be like, I should go to Lebanon to look for records.
Mm-hmm.
I would never even think that, but the stuff that when he's playing, it had such a different, unique, but still funky character built into it. It was just ridiculous. And he didn't have any time for, like, Ernesto didn't have no time for people recording sets. He'd be like, put your fucking iPhone away. He would just, like, stop the record.
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah, he was putting people in their place. It was so good.
So that's...
That's the number one. Is that night was, like, hanging out with those guys and listening to... Literally like having synapses connected in your brain of like listening to all this music, be like, wow, this is a really unique kind of version of it. And also like just having my blood alcohol content be entirely vodka. Mm. It was a fun time.
Do you think a lot of people after like getting exposed to Ernesto, like were all of a sudden going back home? And like, I mean, you said Newmark's eyes open, but like digging for stuff like that.
Some people, here's what I noticed about, my good homie Ernesto, I would say. I've had a chance to like catch up a little bit like with him here and there, like since he's a nice enough guy, he at least responds to the odd message I send. He was poor.
Are you like his like Bizarro world?
No, I was like, because I took a bunch of photos and like I remember I tagged him in one of them. He's like, oh man, can you please send me the rest of these? And thank you kind of idea. And then I asked him like about a couple of the random titles were, and he was nice enough to tell me and stuff.
Yeah.
He was pretty polarizing though, because when I was talking about him like putting people in their place and shit, like being like, put your damn iPhone away and like fucking, he was kind of a little lit on the boat and like had like the volumes like super kind of cranked, because his 45s that he had were also like super rare and like kind of quiet, some of them. So like he'd be like cranking them. So then the guy who was going on after him, the god Alex Notal, would like kind of look over and be like, oh shit, like I would do anytime I walk up to you if I saw like, or Reddy or anybody, if I saw like you're like hardcore in the reds and maybe just not catching it,
just tweak it down.
I might just roll you off a little bit.
Yeah,
he would roll off and he'd be like, don't fucking touch my mixer, man. And he's not like being like funny not about it. He's funny. He's like, I'll fucking hit you with this bottle. Like, don't touch my shit.
That kind of sounds like Walter a bit, because the other night when you were spinning, I touched your knobs once. He's like, hey, don't do that when I'm on at all.
That, yes. Let's put it this way. Ernesto's a fun Walter.
Nice.
But no, he's a lot of people were definitely, definitely like listening to like the stuff that he'd found. But at the same time, when you realize that this guy's access to where he'd been in the world and like knowledge, even if somebody was to take you on a trip and go, like, let's go looking for records in Lebanon or like Beirut or any like where in that area, you wouldn't have a clue. Like that's, you know what I mean? It's kind of more of a, if you approached him in a nice, kind way, be like, hey, can you tell me a bit more? Like, you'd want to, like, approach him to learn a bit more. Yeah, and that's how, like...
And that's the more fun way to do it, I think.
That's how I've learned everything, and, like, everything that I do, really, is, like, if I see something kind of cool, or I hear some... I remember when I was in Serbia a couple years back, I was at this, like, little, like, underground sort of, like, small bar. It's just a smoky room where my buddy took me. And they're playing all records in there. And this one guy was playing, I forget what the artist is. K-Idea. It's like this Italian guy with this like wild, funky Italian disco kind of thing going on. And I remember being like, oh, this is like super dope. So I kind of like quietly went over to the guy who's playing. My buddy knew him. He introduced me. And I just kind of went through broken conversation with that guy. Like, is it all right if I like talk to you and learn a little bit and like, you know, take some notes? And I wrote a bunch of artists down and stuff. So when I got back here, like that's stuff that I look for and stuff. I think meeting people like that and like, you know, as long as you don't touch their mixer when they don't want you to, then you can like really pick up and learn a lot for sure.
It's interesting. And I asked that about like the digging stuff because, you know, I mean, almost single-handedly guys between J-Rock, Madlib and Egon, like Brazil and India, Indian records, right? Like I, you know, my background's Indian. I like after all that stuff, like Madlib sampled everything fucking possible out of every fucking Indian record. There's nothing left. Yeah. So everyone's looking for that next thing, right?
And if there was to be a next thing, it would be in that, as they say in the history documentaries, in that cradle of civilization area where like Asia meets Europe, like where there's a lot of music that's kind of tucked away and hasn't really been
untapped,
unearthed there.
But the beat counts and stuff it's totally different. It's not 4/4s.
No, right? and that's what would be a shame is if people were to go and produce from that and just to chop it up and flip it into like a, like I'd probably be mildly annoyed to DJ with it, but I'd love to play a little bit more music that was framed. I look at EDM kind of like that when they had not like, okay, that was a weird way to put that, but like when they had like...
We don't talk about EDM.
When we were playing... Okay,
what is this EDM you speak of?
I just crossed into the old head zone.
I know. We try not to be haters,
you just went to go full Ebro on me right now.
I don't have the beard, but I'm getting there. I'm trying...
But it would be, like, in that kind of context, like, where, like, they would have, like, sometimes they'd have, like a 17-bar drop, something weird like that, like, to kind of, like, make the tension and build the tension differently. And a lot of the music that was recorded by real musicians and on these, like, super rare 45s, that's what it kind of, you're kind of like, oh, you get down to the groove, and you're like, oh, shit's about to change. Oh, it's not changing yet. Oh shit, this is kind of cool. Oh, where is this going? And all of a sudden, like, full key change, time signature change, and then it would be a full different vibe. Crazy. I wish I remember the one record he was playing on the boat. because it kind of, it was like one of these ones, it felt like kind of four on the floor chugging along. Excuse me. Having the nice moose heads going on here.
it's become commonplace here. Yeah, yeah, a little bit of...
We don't edit out burps on the we're loud.
But then it went into like this kind of like... I want to say like a 6-8. Mm-hmm. Like the groove was like around kind of the same, but it changed up. And then the whole like key change and sort of feel of the song like went from like this minor key to this sort of uplifting thing like a slap in the face. And like everybody on the boat, again, he was kind of a polarizing guy to listen to. Some people really, really were into him. Some people were like kind of, this shit's weird as hell.
Yeah, because they're just not used to it, some people. Yeah.
But like certain records he would play just fully united everybody like that, for sure. And some of the cover stuff that he played, like he just, I don't think he, I think one, if I remember correctly, one of the ones he did play was Shout. But it was like a cover of a cover of a cover. Like so like, it was just such a weird way to listen to it.
Cool.
But yeah, Shout, like, highly doubt you'll ever listen to this, Ernesto, but I fucking love you, man. You're the dopest, and I hope you keep doing what you're doing. You're an absolute G.
And I think most of the DJs, nerds, producers who are checking this show out will kind of understand the talk about time signatures and stuff. But if you're not familiar with this stuff, I really suggest you kind of Google this stuff up, because Western music, most of it is like this four beat, four bar kind of.
If you even just wanted to find the easiest way to feel the difference between, like, you know, if we're like talking about time signatures, Google. Okay, go listen to "Call Me Maybe" by What's Her Face, typical pop song, and then just Google
Kylie Rae Jepsen. Put some respect on it.
Carly Rae Jepsen. You called her Kylie. At least I know it's Kylie. Go listen to that.
I did my best.
Go listen to that normal, like, giant pop song you can probably sing in your head, and then just Google any waltz.
Yeah.
You know, like, just to know that it's between 4-4 and 3-4, you're like, oh, okay, and, like, that's kind of what we're talking about. Like, the whole time signature changes, and a lot of the music that's from different areas of the world where they don't subscribe to our, you know, pop format that we have here.
Yeah, yeah, so, it's fascinating stuff.
It really, honestly, that night, that's why, like, there's a million cool, like, yeah, I got to, like, you know, talk to Craze and like learn about Two Click Flares and Nerdy DJ shit. But the standout coolest night I had that time was hanging out, listening to that crazy motherfucker, like crazy motherfucking records.
Yeah, it's dope. It always comes back to the music. You know what I mean? It's
like, yeah. Just like wild. I remember it was funny too, because like I was just blotto and I'm like, this guy's got all the wild rare groove. And he's just like, ah, we don't call it rare groove. That's a fucking, I think he said it's like, it's fucking like North American white guy thing to say a rare groove. I'm like, I just meant that
basic bitched you.
Yeah, and then I remember just being like, I just meant that they're rare. He goes, yeah, they're pretty rare.
That's a typical cultural thing between the East, like those kind of like, no, you can't do that. Okay, cool.
I kind of explained myself a little bit. He's like, oh yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, they are rare.
Was the move to Toronto basically like, did you come here thinking like, okay, I got to move to the big city and like, and start?
It was kind of always, because I'd started DJing out in Toronto back and forth. Like I'd been playing out through Reddy and Chetty, like that connection as well. Yeah. I was still living in Hamilton. I had a relationship that I was in end around that time. And I was still DJing in Hamilton. I was also a Falconer at the time. If you want to look deep through my Instagram and find that, it's jokes. I was a legit Falconer.
Nice.
Those were my two jobs, was DJing and handling Hawks. And then that contract ended. I had this kind of like sort of bigger relationship in my life. And yeah, like I was kind of like maybe just move to Toronto and just DJ. And like I actually give her credit, because like on her way out the door when she was picking up all her stuff, like we had a fine end of the relationship, but she's like I really couldn't see myself though, like, you know, continuing to date somebody who's just gonna DJ in Hess Village, Hamilton forever. I was just like, ooh, like that stung. And it wasn't a fuck you bitch. I was like oh shit, like I feel like kind of called out right now, you know what I mean? So like maybe I'll just move on and just like kind of carry on, and sure enough it worked out just fine. So
yeah, man, you're gigging a lot out here. What do you got on the go now? I know you're a working DJ.
My Friday's all locked down now, which is nice. I work for the Track and Field family, so their bar is Bangarang Track and Field. Odd Thomas and Mascot Brewery.
Yeah.
Obviously, shout out Baby Huey.
Yeah.
Big time. That's a fun spot. I obviously cover for you once in a while. I do one Saturday a month there. Belfast Love, I do the Sundays there. I also do all their special events. One that's coming up, I don't know when you guys upload this, so I don't know if it'll be before the long weekend.
I don't know when this is going to be up.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you're hearing it after, whatever. If you're hearing it after,
and you do those consistently on all the long weekends. Belfast Love gigs where they bring in, kind of bigger name DJs. Like, who's done those ones? Like,
I've had
Junior Flow from Keys and Crates.
First one I did was our homie Bastard and The Gaff.
Dope.
Then it was... you did the one with Respect. I was supposed to do that one, but they ended up switching the day.
You got bumped because I'm better.
By the way, I've always said that is the best DJ name
Respect.
In the history of DJ names. It really is. It's Wrist Spec.
Yeah. he's crazy, man. Like, the speed on the transitions, I was like, oh my God, this guy's like got some ADD going on. Like, he's nuts.
You're wondering if, like, you'd accidentally taken some slow me down drugs that day. You're I smoked too much weed. Why is everybody moving so fast?
Are DJs, like, not supposed to play verses of songs ever? Like, he's crazy.
Starting from scratch, that was a cool, like, playing with him is, you've played with him before.
He's
been a legend
for
forever. Like, before I even, like, really knew a lot about DJing, like, you'd hear him, like, on the radio shows back in the day. So, like, getting a chance to meet him and play with him. We, like, even played, like, back-to-back together a little bit at the end. I was like,
it's
fuck.
Cool, because he came up, he's good friends with our previous guest, Mastermind. So, we were talking a lot about him and just his... versatility in the game and the amount of time he's
we'll have
game.
To get him out and document his story for sure, because he's crazy
the way he like and the way like he plays too. Like, he has a interesting MIDI mapping on his mixer. He's
cool style.
He's been in the game for forever. Everything he plays is his own edit.
He's just like, the edits are crazy. Like, I kept trying to like kind of peek at his computer, you know what I mean?
I didn't want to be that. You would just look at an entire library edited by him.
It's
like, we're
crazy.
Talking probably 10,000 songs he's had that he's like done his edits.
And the MIDI mapping of his S9 is wild too. Like, I couldn't even really figure out what
so
was
he
going
was
down.
Probably the geekiest technical podcast we've done so far. We've really gone down that
I thought we were gonna have like interesting party stories, but
do you have a fun party story? You could transition it into something else.
We're going on the Belfast. So, starting from scratch was a funny night. Because we had two turntables die in the middle, so when we were DJing, we got Everly to bring us over CDJs.
He's so connected, he's just like, yo.
He literally just called up Everly and we're like, we need
your CDJs. Bring them
up. And they just brought them up, so we're like, I'm handing out a broken turntable, I'm getting a CDJ thrown in there.
Crazy. One time I brought Diggy a needle to which was the stupidest thing ever.
But yeah, that was a pretty sweet party time. And then who else? Junior Flow.
Yeah.
Played with him. That was interesting too. He'd never used an S9 before. So that's like kind of a funny party. Because he was literally, I hit him up through Mark, the guy who books me at Belfast Love. And I was like, is he okay to use this mixer that I use? He's like, yeah.
Mark doesn't know anything about
DJ. He's like,
yeah. I was just like, yeah.
He's like, yeah, he's good. So I get there and Greg, Junior Flow, he's just like, yeah, no problem, man, for sure. And then he plugs in his laptop and you need to install drivers. He's like, I guess I need to do that. I'm like, well, I'll play here. I'll play another couple while we get that set. So that was entertaining. Charlie Hustle. So that's what I was saying. Like, May long weekend, if this is up before then and you happen to hear that and looking for a party recommendation. Charlie Hustle is a Canadian three-style champ. I'll be playing with him.
Mm-hmm. He's dope. I remember the year that he competed. I was like, this guy's winning the Canadians.
Was that the year they went to Japan?
It was either Japan or Toronto, in and around those years. Three years-ish ago, I think.
Yeah, I think it was when they went to Japan. I've never played with him. I've never met him before, but... I've listened to a lot of his work. I'm a big fan, so I'm looking forward to that. I think I maybe like drunkenly DM'd him last night. I saw his story was like the fly. I'm like, looking forward to meeting you, man. Like one of those. So that'll be good. And then lots of stuff coming up this summer like that. But you know, I'm trying to think of a wild, entertaining party story off the top.
No. It's before we wrap it too. There's a few little questions I want to ask you. Like, we never got into your. Like, who were your influences as a DJ growing up?
So being from where I'm from, which is like born in a cornfield.
Shouts to Dundas, Ontario.
Greensville. Oh, Greensville. West Flamborough.
Is that even like specific?
So if you were to go in a line.
What's the population?
It goes Hamilton is the bigger center. Then you talk about Dundas, which is the one outside that, which is, you know, Dundas. Then you go Greensville, which is where everybody from Toronto goes to get their stupid waterfall selfies now. Stop coming to my town. And I lived in a town outside of that called West Flamborough. So okay.
Population of
900. It's just like a stop sign.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like a mailing address. But influences would be like DJ Shadow, Kid Koala.
Have you caught his vaudeville show?
He was at Mod Club, and a friend of mine works there, and she was supposed to link me up tics to go, but then she just forgot to just remind me, and I caught it in a couple friends' stories who went there. I was like, I totally would have taken the night off to go to that.
She forgot to remind you to go.
Yeah. <I'm>, right. I enjoy these single malts, but like DJ Shadow, Kid Koala, a lot of like that kind of stuff. There's a guy, DJ Vadim, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with him?
He
had like a series of mixtapes. I remember I found one in like a pawn shop when I was probably, before I even had Dex. Like, it was just something I liked listening to. And then everywhere you'd hear scratches on like older hip hop records, like your Pete Rocks, like kind of premieres.
Yeah, the bad
Gangstar.
Biz.
Gangstar for sure. A big, like, I remember a cousin of mine when I was like younger and before I had Dex and before I even really knew like what a lot of hip hop was going on, he gave me like the Gangstar, like, greatest hits. And then you'd hear the scratch, like, Code of the Streets, like that. You're like, whoa, you just start getting like, see, right? To this day, that's probably like, the Gangstar has such a legendary catalog, but that's one of my, that's like melodic scratching.
Yeah,
at
that
its,
little
at
with
its heart.
The 33 and the 45.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, man. That shit is crazy. I'm like smiling.
Is that the trick?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's how he pitches. Oh, I didn't know that.
Dude.
You haven't actually tried to do that like a million times? I have.
No, never.
For sure.
As we all look at the tables.
We know what we're doing as soon as this podcast ends.
Yeah.
So as far as the you know, kind of current generation, obviously your boys, Cam and Walter, and then who are some of the guys that you're really kind of feeling out there these days?
Ben Chin. I would like to put mad respect on Ben Chin's name. He's a guy I met through Toronto DJ circles.
He's dope. He's a younger cat, and he's crazy with the cuts.
He's mad. He's a mad, eclectic, chill, funny dude. He's a bit younger. He's probably mad younger than all of us.
I think you introduced me to him a few weeks ago, just in passing.
Yeah, he's a pretty short little dude.
Yeah.
And he's nasty with the cut. He both on decks. He also can
What's
go.
The mixing like, though?
He can go in on a controller or go in on decks.
Yeah, he's got an eclectic style.
He's a little bit younger, so he's a lot of the stuff that you hear in like transition, which is like trappier style beats. Like, he's got, let's just say he's got good taste as well. Like, whenever I hear him play,
that's dope.
So I'm a big fan of his work whenever I get a chance, which is super rare because I work too damn much. Whenever I get a chance, I like to go check out like where he's at. I recently got a chance to go check out one of your previous guests, JMK. She's like a force around the city. She's playing everywhere, and I hadn't really got a chance to ever really go sit in and like kind of like enjoy one of her sets. So I got about, I'd say like 35, 40, you know, of her kind of finishing off an Apartment 200 set, which is always entertaining on a weekend because you never know kind of what's going to happen in there.
Yeah. And I don't think we mentioned on our last episode after Jam that Diggy and I went like 2 days after we recorded the podcast to go check her out, and I think it was probably the same night that you checked her out as well, and that was like such a dope vibe, and it's so different than what we're typically used to, and especially me being old man Ebro over here. You know, I felt it, man.
That was for sure something, and there's a lot of people who that I've kind of seen playing around that I really would like to go see more of, and they're not necessarily like...
What about outside of the city and stuff, like kind of globally? Who are you like watching and being like, fuck?
Well, winner style. So the three style winner this year, Damian Otto, he is he's like got fantastic taste, and yeah, he's like
he just dropped a video,
and he's much more technical than his performance on like his winning performance. That yeah, year, he, I find he, when I started kind of following him,
which I appreciate more because I, you know me, I lean towards like. I appreciate the technical side, but it's I'm about the, like the whole package, right?
And,
that,
yeah. and that's know? A party rocking, yeah. Like competition he, is what, like the basis of that competition. So the fact that he did it without even kind of showing all his nerdy technical,
he's
stuff
very musical cool. as well. Like anybody yeah. who can pull out the talk box and like play like something in key along, and like mm-hmm. also you have to like sort of sing while you're doing that. He's a very very dope dude. As well, globally that I've seen. I'd like to shout out my boy who's still working way hard down in Australia, Matt Hall. He's been cranking yeah, out the man. Edits Edit lately. King.
Cranking out the edits. And I hit him up the other day, maybe to get some edits or something from him. But I just like I just had to big him up, like, because you can kind of see the progression, like, just sonically. Like, the stuff is sounding so dope.
It's
like,
funny,
I don't
know, whenever
he's got some new plugins or some shit.
He's spent a lot of time, like, because I chat with him every day. He's like one of my best buds, and like just yeah. hearing like kind of like what he's working on. When you talk about like the progression, that's funny. It's like I have like 9 versions of every edit he's done.
Cause yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, okay, I got. He's like, I got a better one now.
Well, yeah, that's the thing too. Like when he was living back here in Toronto, like he was like us. He's out there gigging 4 to 6 nights a week. It's like, where do you find the time to produce? And then when he went back there, I think his gigs slowed down. It looks like he's doing some stuff out there, but
he's back rolling now.
He's got some, at least initially when he went back there, he had a lot of time to really focus on the production. So
mm-hmm. yeah, I'd like to put mad respect on Matt Hall's name. Respect.
Yeah, and a lot of his stuff can be found on the Beat Junkies website. Probably some of the newer shit. You got to be his buddy, so you might want to befriend him.
Me and him are cooking up a little project that has to do with bulk edit delivery, so there's some things coming down the pipe for that.
Do you want
to
speak on that or not?
I will definitely... It's definitely like kind of in the works right now, cool. And it's more of a... It's something... So that was the tail end of the tail end of my Poland trip. I went to visit him in Australia, mm-hmm. and I spent a week with him in Australia and caught up and did some work on it. And we kind of got a little bit of a fire to like kind of get a collective kind of thing going.
Yeah.
So that's, we're working on something like that. It's in its like kind of
infancy
right now, but it's got a real solid direction, feeling pretty mm-hmm. good about it. And that's the one thing when we're talking about like his progression, the one thing that's kind of difficult about working with him is that every 2 weeks, it's like, I got some new shit. It's like, oh, son of a bitch, we just had this other shit going on. We should probably just put that shit out, you know? So, yeah, that's going on. And then anyone else that I would just like randomly like pick out of a hat that like, I saw from around the world that was really like really dope would be like, yeah, like the guys I was kicking it with, like when I got to meet like Lazy Boy, like he's still mm-hmm. putting out mad content and videos. He's doing it down the Bay Area down there, just living his best DJ life. He's fucking funny as hell. Like if you ever like need an afternoon to go watch some videos, I definitely would recommend that shit for sure. And some of the Japan guys were pretty cool too. Like these the Genre Bender guys and DJ City Japan. Yeah. They're just super, super wild, crazy with the cuts. I went hung out and watched them do that on the portables the one day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you see somebody killing on a portable, you're like, mm-hmm. fuck my life. Like, how are you good at using this toy well? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's crazy.
It's pretty bonkers.
So you mentioned, obviously, some of the upcoming gigs and what you're doing around the city. Like, and you mentioned a potential project coming up with Matt Hall. Like, what else is kind of the aspirations? Like, where are you trying to take this thing? We call DJ.
Where is the end result?
There's no end result. You know, where's the journey going? Like, what's next for you? Like, what?
For a while, I was kind of focused on maybe.
All right, you can answer the question before grabbing a beer. There.
I was trying to like
getting really comfy up here.
I wanted to pontificate.
We're gonna actually call like I think this episode had the most roasting, but we're all boys. That's why. So I expected it.
If this was roasting, then you haven't hung out with me and him before. Yeah, right? Like,
you should see our
roasting text change. It's roasting for public consumption.
Roast. Yeah, this is roasting 101. Yeah. No, like I've honestly like I wanted to for a long time, kind of get into building up a little bit more, like right around here established. I'm kind of got my thing going on in the city as well. I'd like to build that a little bit more outside, throw maybe a bit more through Canada as well, so I get a chance to travel and do a bit of that. I've always kind of wanted to do showcase kind of DJing, like in that regard, but maybe not. That may not be as soon. I'd just like to do a little bit more travel DJing. Because whenever, like, when I go to a place like Poland, or like when I've met a bunch of DJs in Serbia and stuff, you meet these guys, it's just like hanging out with, like, you guys, but it's just like, it's such a different entertaining kind of thing, and it's really...
Yeah, it's nice to play outside of the city and in different places, because, like, you know, you kind of get stuck in a bit of the monotonous, like, same grooves and same sets that you're doing at the same venues, so it's a nice change of scene.
So where can everyone find you online?
The main, like, area I do my promotion on is just Instagram, so it's at ESPEARCE, at ESPierce. And yeah, I do have,
and
like,
I gotta say, like, your Instagram stories are awesome. They're so entertaining. We take a, like, you want to go grocery shopping with ESP? Get on his motherfucking Instagram stories.
I'm surprised I haven't pulled the phone out yet. Like, usually if I'm in this kind of scenario, like, it comes out in that regard. But ESP. So that's where you can find out, like, kind of where I'm playing.
ESPEARCE.
ESPEARCE. And I do have I do the tweeting as well, but I don't actually do the tweeting. I just, like, use that to, like, read funny things on the internet. If we're friends, we probably have it on Facebook. Instagram is my main channel. Like,
what's your cell phone number?
It's 1-800.
Ladies.
1-800. I'm not a fan of the Rain 72. Add me up on there, or don't, because it's open. You can just go, like, you don't have to be a follower. You can just go, look, I don't care. It's fine with me. I'm easy like that.
Word, man. So thanks for taking the time, man.
Yeah, man.
Thanks for having me, guys. I'm glad we managed to finally get this together, and it's unfortunate we don't have any real podcast beef, but maybe
in the future it's something to aspire to.
Maybe by season two we can get our game together and we can all beef as one.
We got to wrap this up, but I have a feeling we'll probably just sit back and have another beer and keep talking about the same shit, because that's pretty much what we do. But yeah, this has been super dope, man.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Peace.